Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 670. It's the 23rd of December, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Louis Coetzer, CEO of Kibo Mining, that's K-I-B-O, talks about their progress in 2016 and what to look forward to in 2017. Also on the podcast, I have Alan Minty, Executive Chairman of New Oil and Gas, that's N-U-O-G, covers their strategy going forward. I also have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours, and the most liked RNS on our site today.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Louis Coetzer, CEO of Kibo Mining. The ticker there is K-I-B-O. Thank you for joining me again, Louis.
Good morning, Justin.
Yes, crystal clear down there in Cape Town, I see. Are you in Cape Town?
Yes, I'm in glorious Cape Town at the moment and looking forward to finalizing this year and enjoy a little bit of the Christmas holiday.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's been a busy year for Kibo. Before we get into some of the highlights and some of the most recent news, can you explain to people who are listening now, have never heard of Kibo or just tuned into the podcast for the first time, exactly what Kibo is all about? Because I know you're a busy company with lots going on.
Yes, Justin, Kibo is a development company with all our projects based in Tanzania. We are at the moment developing three flagship projects, our Haneti Nickel project, our Imweru Lubandu Gold project, and then of course our main flagship project, the Mbeya Coal to Power project. And then we also have a couple of other exploration joint ventures going on the side as well.
Okay, excellent. Well, let's go over the last bits of news you've released, and take it away, Louis. Which do you want to cover first? Because I can see here on the list of RNSs, you've got the MCPP update. Do you want to go through a bit of that first?
Yes, certainly. On the MCPP, I think we've closed the year on an exceptionally high note. Earlier this week, we were able to announce the fact that we have signed the EPC cover agreement, which included the full EPC contract, as well as the coordination agreement, which will govern the implementation and execution of the EPC agreement. And then also with that, it included the OEM, the original equipment manufacturer agreement that we agreed with General Electric on as part of the EPC contract. What we've stated in that is that the EPC contract will still be subject to possible change pending the finalization of the power purchase agreement and any requirements that lenders and funders might have during the process of financial close. Very important. I mean, this is what we've worked very hard for, is to get the EPC contract finalized. We have now we now have the EPC price fixed. We know exactly what that is, and very, very important, because we now know what the biggest capital component of the CapEx in this project is. We have it firmly under control, and on top of that, we now have SEPCO 3, which is a highly capable EPC contractor on our side, who will be supporting us and helping us finalize the last bits and pieces on the commercial side, or commercial negotiations related to the PPA and other commercial agreements in the MCPP.
Okay, excellent stuff. And on the 21st, which is yesterday, you had two RNSs out, and one of them was a term sheet with Sanson Capital. Can you explain this and what it's all about, please, Louis?
Yes, certainly. Well, what we've done is we've tried throughout this whole year to make sure that we fund the company in such a way that we leverage the advancement that we've shown in the development of the various flagship projects, or the various projects in the company. In my opinion, we were able to do that very successfully. We've gone throughout this entire year without doing any placing in the market. The only shares that we issued was related to costs, or where we've paid for certain services. So we were able to keep dilution down to an absolute minimum, and we were able to fund the company on the basis of progress that we've made with the projects. Now, what we announced yesterday is no different. We've again managed to leverage the advancement, the progress, the higher certainty and visibility that we have in terms of the value of the projects into a funding arrangement, which people can look at and may have comments in terms of the cost of it, which I'll comment on just now. But we've secured short to medium term funding security in the company. We've done it in such a way that we've kept dilution to an absolute minimum. We've protected the share price regardless of the drop that we saw yesterday, but we've also protected the market cap. Now, from a cost point of view, what this funding means in terms of cost, we have to consider all the options that we have. And every single other option that we have at our disposal at the moment would mean severe dilution, a half in the market cap of the company, and the inability to even raise half of what we've announced yesterday. So all things considered, we are of the opinion that it's a very solid funding arrangement. We've leveraged development, advancement, and growth or appreciation of value in the projects to put that facility in place. It means that we have our funding, that we have funding stability in the company, which we have managed to do throughout an entire year where the markets were very volatile. And we can now focus everybody and all resources on making sure that we can bring the MCPP to financial close as early as possible next year, finalize the Opera transaction, complete the feasibility work that we want to do on the Enwero Gold project, and to hopefully we also be able to advance the Haneti Nickel project to a first maiden resource status, provided obviously subject to exploration results.
Yeah, and so you're... If I get this right, so basically you are borrowing what? Is it $2.9 million and they're made available in five tranches through to June next year? Is that right?
Yeah, it's $2.9 million, mm-hmm. which we have leveraged against the deferred payment that we have on the refund of development costs from SEPCO 3. So we're basically bringing the payment forward.
Yeah.
That's still outstanding from SEPCO 3, obviously at a discount because there will be a cost involved with that. So in very, very simple terms, we've secured $2.9 million of funding over this period that you've mentioned just now, and done it on a basis where we have leveraged the deferred SEPCO 3 development cost refund.
Okay, and so essentially, you know, like I said, the share price went down yesterday, but in your eyes, you know, completely this is the best option for the project, is it, for shareholders, for everyone?
I believe it is. To be very honest with you, Justin, I cannot understand why the share price went down. We again seeing a lot of rumor mongering, we see a lot of scare talk going on. Mm. Well, I certainly do not understand why. Well, I could have understood it if we announced a $3 million placing in the market yesterday at a 40% discount, yeah. which we did not.
Yeah,
we announced a situation where I believe in a very creative and in a very responsible manner, we've brought funding stability to the company for the short to medium term and at a cost within context that makes a lot of sense. Of course, it's expensive. We will be the first to concede that it's expensive, but considering the other options, it is not expensive.
Yeah, so it's the best option essentially. All right.
Yes.
So, yeah, exactly. So going forward now, Lee, we're nearing the end of the year. You know, what are the milestones that we can look out for in early to 2017?
Well, the biggest milestone for me at the moment is to go and have Christmas.
Yeah.
But, other than that, as far as the company is concerned, Justin, I think we are in very good shape at the moment. The MCPP in particular is in a very, very good position. Unfortunate that we couldn't achieve some of the milestones due to the policy changes underway in Tanzania. But again, I have to emphasize, I have to stress the fact that those policy changes are things that will stand, that will be of great benefit to the company on the, to the project on the medium, long term, over the life of the project. So it might cause a little bit of a delay in some of the things that we're doing at the moment, but we will more than make up for it in the next year, and it will more than these are critical things that will safeguard the stability and success of the project on the long term. So it's one of those things where you have to be careful to be penny wise and pound foolish.
Yeah. Okay. And as far as you know, concrete bits of news. What are you looking out for? What's the first thing you're hoping to tick off? Your itinerary there.
Well, in the new year, the first thing that we want to get done is the is to get the OPRA transaction done and dusted, to get that finalized. We also want to get the PPA done as quickly as possible in the new year, and as quickly as possible after that, get to a point of where we have financial close in place. I have to, however, qualify to say that when I say as quickly as possible, you know, these are relative terms. It's not entirely in our hands, so I cannot put an accurate timeline on that to say within the first week or the first month. But as quickly as we could possibly get it all done, we want to get these three key milestones done. Finalize the OPRA transaction and get on with the feasibility there. Finalize the PPA, finalize financial close. Because if we can do that, the sooner we do that, the sooner we are in a position where we can look forward to have a coal mine, a gold mine, and a power plant in production over the course of the next 36 months.
Marvellous. Okay, Louis, well, listen, anyone listening right now to this podcast who doesn't follow Kibo Mining on Vox Markets, because I do cover the top five most followers every day on the podcast, could you give three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on Kibo's page?
I think at this point in time, I would only mention one thing, and that is a development company that is quickly advancing towards having three revenue-generating assets in play.
And I like that, because what you've done there is you've given the three assets in one point, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Louis, listen, have a nice Christmas. You deserve it. You've been a busy man this year. Yeah, I've spoken to you in London and Cape Town, and you've always been working hard there. So have a nice Christmas, and I look forward to speaking to you in the new year.
Same to you, Justin. Hope you have a wonderful Christmas, and looking forward to 2017.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Minty, Executive Chairman of New Oil and Gas. Ticker code there is NUOG. Alan, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Justin.
That's all right. And you're still working up towards the Christmas period there. When are you taking time off?
We'll probably close off at the end of this week. But we've got a very busy year ahead, so which, of course, I'm looking forward to enormously.
Excellent stuff. Okay, Alan, well, if anyone didn't hear our last podcast or are new to the podcast or have never heard of you, New Oil and Gas, can you explain what you're all about, please, in a summary?
Yeah, surely. New Oil and Gas is an independent oil and gas company. And our strategy is to build a sort of diverse portfolio of assets with strong emphasis on acquiring interest in stranded or marginal fields. We've been focusing on this strategy for a few years, but we do have some non-core assets based in Western Newfoundland, and recent announcements have been concerned with renewed activity on those.
Okay, and can you explain for people who are not aware, what does a stranded or marginal field mean, Alan?
A marginal field is one which is not necessarily uneconomic, but may not be sufficiently economic to generate investment. And our strategy over the last 3 to 4 or 5 years has been to find development solutions which increase the returns for investors on such fields and therefore attract potential investment to develop assets which would potentially be lost.
Yeah,
in some ways, it's a very effective strategy. And the other point about marginal fields is that we tend to focus on discoveries, so already the exploration and appraisal risk has been removed.
Okay, all right. So there's been some recent news now on your EL-1070 license in Newfoundland. Can you tell us more about that, please?
Yes, of course. The recently we've signed an option agreement with G2 Energy Corporation, which is a small Canadian company. The objective is to apply for and be awarded a significant discovery license on this on EL-1070. And under the current regulations, this could be up to 25 years. I think we've got a realistic chance of getting such an award, especially after reassessment of data on existing wells, which has been undertaken by G2 Energy, who, under the option agreement, will pay all the costs for the work required and for the submission of the significant discovery application. New Oil will receive a 5% gross override. But the interesting part is that this is an offshore license, quite large, but can be drilled from onshore. And currently, Noel owns 100% of the deep rights.
Okay, and I'm just looking at the makeup there of G2, and you've got mentions of George Langdon and Jared Edwards there. So where does their experience lie, and where are their strengths there?
Dr. George Langdon and Jared Edwards, whom I've known for many years, mm-hmm. Are very experienced and have focused much of their career on raising investment in Western Newfoundland. To date, they've certainly raised over $100 million for various plays and projects. And the reason, one of the factors in our decision to sign an option agreement with them was to have a deep understanding of the geology, the regulatory framework in that region, and the information on wells that we've already drilled on EL-1070.
Okay, go on.
And of course, the good thing was that G2 Energy approached us about the option agreement, so they must have considerable confidence in the outcome.
Yeah, exactly. And how does this sort of fit in with your overall strategy?
Well, it fits in with our overall strategy because we've got two non-core assets currently, both in Western Newfoundland, and one about, which is PL2002. We've made an announcement previously. But this one, on EL1070, it's an excellent deal for us because, of course, there's a potentially large upside. We don't have to invest further, so the costs are off our books, and obviously it's good sense to get other parties to invest.
Yeah, so it fits with both your parties, G2 and you, sort of, win-win either side, I suppose. So how valuable is like that 5% gross override you mentioned?
Well, 5% gross override can be a very significant generates a very significant return. Depends upon, of course, how the field is eventually developed. But probably best given by an example. If EL-1070, after award the license and eventual choice of development solution, was to produce 20,000 barrels of oil a day, then 1,000 barrels of oil would be to New Oil's account, and at the prevailing oil price, that would mean in excess of $50,000 per day, which is a considerable sum when annualized.
Yeah, and well, exactly. And considering what your market cap is, below £3 million at the moment, that would be, quite material to you, wouldn't it?
It would be. Of course, it's there's quite a time before that one would expect it to get that result. But as I stressed before, these are non-core assets, and this is part of the tidying up process so that we can really focus our efforts in 2017 on the marginal field strategy, where we do have some very interesting possibilities.
All right, so we're towards the end of, 2016 now, and so you've got that deal happening. You've also got the Garden Hill field in Newfoundland. So, I assume investors and potential investors can expect a regular bit of news flow, can they?
Well, they can expect regular news flow from two directions. Firstly, there'll be frequent and material news flow from the Western Newfoundland. Interestingly, PVF Energy, where we signed the an option agreement on PL2002, have got a rig in Stephenville, about 40 kilometres from our site. It was going to be stored at our site, but the weather was bad, we couldn't get it through. And should we sign the definitive agreement agree the work programme, that rig will be used on that field. So that's interesting. But on the marginal stranded field strategy, I expect two or three projects to mature, to advance in the early part of 2017.
Yeah, so busy time in the year ahead. Okay, Alan.
And exciting.
Yeah, exactly. And, listen, anyone listening right now, a regular listener to the podcast will know I cover the top 5 most followed stocks on our site in the last 24 hours, every day in the podcast. Could you give someone, 3 reasons why they should follow you? Obviously, someone who isn't following you, why should they follow you in 3 bulleted points, please, Alan?
Right. Firstly, I think we've got a very interesting and quite elegant strategy, which can be delivered in shorter time frames than for normal large projects. Two, we have got a number of very good targets, which we hope mature into project opportunities. And three, I think that if they look at our recent history, they will see that the company is focused and delivering considerable activity, as I think the oil sector is improving.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, Alan, thank you very much for coming on, and have a nice Christmas and Happy New Year, and I look forward to covering some of that news that will be coming out in 2017 with you.
Good. I look forward to further discussions with yourself, Justin, also. All the best for the new year.
All right, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. At five, it's 88 Energy. At four, Asia Met Resources. At three, EVRH. At two, Canadian Overseas Petroleum. And number one, the most followed company on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours is Ascent Resources. I covered the chart earlier with Nicola. Now, there's not much news out today. It's half-day trading, of course. And so the most liked RNS was by far and away by Asia Met Resources, and that's the closing of the private placement. They've raised £2 million, which will see them through, hopefully, to the feasibility study in 2017, whereas when they get some money from bigger investors. That's when they say, this is the project, this is how much money we spend, this is how much we intend to get back at these kind of levels of copper pricing. And so it's a good move. It'll take them through to that, and I see this as one of the stocks to look out for in 2017. I really believe in Tony and the team there. That's it for the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. If you listened this year, I've had some amazing listens and follows, and we broke the 1 million listener barrier, and there's also going to be a weekend podcast, so stay tuned for that. Much as appreciatos, by the way.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.